תזכו לשנים רבות, נעימות וטובות, רבנים חשובים, organizers, and of course, קהל קדוש. אריה שאג מי לא יירא. The pasuk says that when a lion roars, who doesn't have fear? Everybody's afraid of a lion. Hachamim tell us that the word Aryeh is Rashi Tevot, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, Hoshana Rabbah. That's the Aryeh. That's the lion. The holy days. And in less than 24 hours, we are about to enter the mouth of the lion, which is Yom Kippurim. עצומו של יום, כי ביום הזה יכפר עליכם, לטהר אתכם מכל חטאותיכם לפני אדוני תטהרו. אריה שאג מי לא יירא. And the evening and the service opens up with the Kan Nidre. If you look in your Mahzorim, it'll say the most solemn moment of the year. And everybody knows the moment of Kan Nidre, how special it is and how propitious that moment is. Even the reform and the conservative and the non-affiliate Jew knows what it means, Kan Nidre. That much of Kippur they know. And you ask yourself a simple question. Why is it so solemn? After all it is a confession against any swears that we might have made and any vows that we might have taken. It's just a sophisticated Hatarat Nedarim. And even if you listen to the tune of the Kan Nidre, by all the communities that sing it, it's a somber tune. It's a tune that belongs more on Tisha B'Av than Yom Kippurim. The way we sing it by the Sefaradim, Kan Nidre, the tune itself brings emotions of seriousness and sadness. What's so serious and what's so sad? You're absolving yourself from vows and from Shavuot. If tonight was a historical talk, I would put the Kan Nidre in the context of Jewish history and tell you about the Jews of Spain. Those Jews, about 500 years ago, lived under great religious persecution. And many of them were forced by the Inquisition to either accept Christianity or give up their lives. And to the credit of many Jews, they did give up their lives on Kiddush Hashem to remain Jewish and to die Jewish. But there were others that did not have the courage or the strength or the ability to be Moser Nefesh, and they accepted a vow of Christianity. Subsequently, they became known as the Maranos. The Maranos were the Jews that lived outwardly very secular, very Christian, but inside of their homes, clandestinely, they preserved the Jewish tradition. And these Maranos had a custom every Yom Kippur to meet in one of those basements in hiding, and they would make a minyan for Yom Kippurim. And to them, the most solemn moment was when they asked God for forgiveness for the vow that they Christianity. To them, the Kal Nidre was the entrance into Yom Kippurim. How could we go ask God forgiveness for all the other transgressions when we accepted upon ourselves a vow to become Christian? So to them, this was a Tisha B'Av. Hence the somber tune. Hence the seriousness of the moment. So for a Marano, the Kal Nidre has significance. But most of us, including the speaker, were not Maranos. Although we might descend from Spain. What does the Kal Nidre mean to me? Why is it so solemn to me? I didn't renounce my Judaism. As a matter of fact, I'm makpid not to make any swears the whole year long. I was taught in second grade, we don't swear, Jews don't swear. We don't swear to God, we don't promise. When I was in high school and we had to take the regents, and we had to sign that we didn't have any knowledge of the test beforehand. Now I'm not saying whether we did or not. That's for another shi'ud. But we had to sign, and there were two paragraphs. One says, I promise / swear. And if you're Jewish, you get to sign the second paragraph that says, I affirm / attest. So we're brought up, we don't swear. So what are we making such a big deal? And we give every nuance. Shivu'e, kunna me, kunna he, kunna se. Nobody ever does a kunna me, not a kunna se, not a kunna he, not a shivu'e. Like this is the most solemn moment. If I was making the mahzor, I would take things that are more practical for us. Everybody Shemirat Shabbat can use a little more help. That should be our Kal Nidre, to accept Shemirat Shabbat, or a little more Kashrut, Lashon Hara, Taharat HaMishpacha. These are the majors. These are the things that talk to us. But Shavuot? And not only that, but it must be something when we sell the kibbudim for the high holidays. We sell them. And it's clear that the coveted, the most coveted kibbud to buy is the Kal Nidre. And inevitably, no matter where you pray, the question when you leave synagogue on Leil Kippur is, who bought Kal Nidre? And how much did it go for? And it's brought down. The Sfarim bring it down, Kafahim brings it down, the Halakha. If you have the money and you have the wherewithal, it's a big thing, it's a big tikkun to hold the Sefer Torah at the time of the Kal Nidre. And again, we scratch our head, what's the big deal? So, I want to tell you from the Gemara something that you might not know about yourselves. Not that you might not know, but you might not know about yourselves. That's the advantage of coming to Shi'urim. Person can be 40, 50 years old and still doesn't know all the details about his own life. The Gemara in Nida on Daf Lamed. It's talking about when you were in your mother's womb. So Gemara begins and says, "Vener daluk lo al rosho." In the mother's womb, you had a light, like a lamp, that was illuminated above the head of the child, of the baby. Gemara quotes a pasuk: "Vesofe umadbit besof haolam al sofo." The child has vision from one end of the world to the other. Shneimar pasuk in Iyov. Behilo nero ale roshi. The Gemara calls that light Behilo. Maybe that's where the Goyim got the word halo from. Behilo, the light. Maybe you once heard that a lady that's expecting, she has a certain glow. The glow of a pregnant woman. The Gemara says there's a light because there's a light inside of her that shines over the child. The Gemara goes on. Ve'eno yotze misham, and the baby doesn't exit the womb ad shemashpi'im oto, until they put a shivu'ah on the child. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Umahi ha-shivu'ah, and what's the shivu'ah that they make the child vow? Shemashpi'im oto tehi tzadik ve'al tehi rasha. Now I'm sure most of you don't remember this, but ne'emanim aleinu devrei ha-Gemara, if the Gemara tells us that that's what happened, we can trust the Gemara. Maybe in a court of law you could say, I have no memory, I never said it, I was a baby, what did I know? But the Gemara is telling us that every one of us made a shivu'ah to God before we emerged from the canal. And we said, shivu'ah hamura, I am going to be a tzaddik. And I will not be a rasha. So we're all bound by this shivu'ah. According to the Sfarim HaKedoshim, they take it even a step further. They say that before we make that shivu'ah in the womb, ki'ilu, there's a virtual Sefer Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down, and we hold on to the Sefer bin Kitat Hefetz. We're holding on to a Sefer, as if to say, and I swear I'm going to be a Sadiq. And then comes Yom Kippurim, where we start to take stock. And we start to make hashbon. We open the ledger and we start to do some accounting of our deeds. And we start to see that we're in breach of contract, and that we did not keep our word. Because when we look at the ledger and the different repertoire of sins, we find out that shivu'ah that we made, that we're going to be a tzaddik, we did not live up to it. Hence we are in contempt of that shivu'ah hamura. And therefore begins kal nidre. Not for a shivu'ah that you made during the course of the year, but for a shivu'ah that you made at the moment that you were born. And we ask God to please forgive us. And that's why the custom at Kan Nidre is to hold the Sefer Torah, because we embarrass the Sefer Torah as well. Because when you hold the Sefer Torah and you make a shivu'ah and you don't keep your word, it's as if you're saying, the Sefer Torah is not an important book. You could hold the Sefer and you could lie when you hold the Torah. Therefore the custom is, the Zohar HaKadosh writes, to hug the Sefer Torah at the time of Kan Nidre, and to kiss it, and to touch it. It's as if we're asking God and the Sefer Torah, please forgive. That's the Ushivu'ah. It's the shivu'ah of teheh tzaddik ve'al teheh rasha. Now that's a solemn moment. Hence the somber melody. Because this is something that should concern us. Because the Gemara says, va'avon shivu'ot. In the sin of shivu'ah, not keeping one's promise or swear, on this the pasuk says, "Venaker lo yinakir. It's the only sin in the Torah that God doesn't tell us that. Make teshuvah and you'll be okay. It says no. Vinakir lo yinakir. I'm not erasing it so fast. God could tolerate all the other averot, but ki lo yisa et asher yisa et shemo lashav. And when God gave that commandment of Shavuot Shav, it says the whole world shook. So we're coming now at the time of the Hatima and Yom Kippurim. The first business we have to settle is to get this Shavuah Hamura off our neck. And we have to ask God for clemency, because lo yinakeh, God doesn't erase that sin so fast. So we have to make a big deal out of it. And then we say, v'nislach lechol adat Yisrael v'lager agar betochechem ki lechol ha'am b'shkaga. We say, and God will forgive all adat Yisrael, will forgive the Edah, the congregation of Israel, v'lager agar betochechem, and He will forgive the convert that dwells in your midst. And I ask you a simple question. Why do we single out the convert at the time of Kavitre? Isn't he part of Adat Yisrael? Once he converts, he's full-fledged, he's part of us. Why do you have to say, God will forgive Adat Yisrael ve'lager? What does the business of the convert have to do with the Kavitre? You know what the explanation is? The mentioning of the ger et kan nidre is pacifying. It's comforting. Because when we start to think about the concept of teshuvah, it defies logic. How is it possible that I did something? It's registered in history. There could be eyewitnesses, and then I regret, and I accept that I won't do it again, and not only does God forgive, but it's erased from history. I can accept forgiveness. God forgives, no problem, but that it never happened. That when you watch the video of life, that event was deleted, it doesn't show up. How does that work? That's the enigma of teshuvah. Not the fact that God can forgive. That makes sense. God is compassionate. But to say it never happened? So we're reminded of a convert. Because there's a rule by a ger. Ger shenitgayer kekatan shenolad damen. That somebody that converts, he's born afresh. He's like, he's just born and he's not related, not to any of his family, nor is he even related to himself. He's a different person. And nothing that he did while he was a goy is remembered. That past life is erased. He starts fresh. So we say, if God can erase the life of a goy when he was a goy, then certainly God can erase a Jew who lived like a goy. If God banishes the previous life of a Gentile who lived the life of Goyut, so kal vachomer, a Jew who started off Jewish, that might have had some Goy tendencies, God can erase that from history as well, and Teshuvah is like a Gerut. Ke katan shenolad dameh, we're reborn. Hence the mention of the convert. But what does it mean when we say ki lechol ha'am bishkaga? We come along right after we ask God to absolve us from all the lies and all the sheker and all the inconsistencies, and then we come along and we say the biggest lie. God, you have to forgive us. Ki lechol ha'am bishkaga. It was a mistake. It was an accident. Is that true? Were all our sins this past year an accident? An accident is when, by mistake, you spill the milk. Or you drop a glass. That's an accident. Our sins were like spilling milk unintentionally? You're telling me none of us had premeditated sin? There was no negligence. We didn't prepare 3 days for the sin. And then we come along right after Kalidre. Ki lechol ha'am bishkaga. God, you have to forgive us. Because at the end of the day, it was a mistake. It was an accident. It was a shugig. What does that mean? So this takes us to a very fundamental and important concept that also needs to be developed and discussed. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam She'akol Yamod Baro. We say in the prayers of Yom Kippurim, I know we have it in our text, I know you have it somewhere in the text of the Ashkenazim as well. Gole Amukot. We have it in a song called Adir V'Naor. Gole Amukot, Dover Tzedakot, Mi El Kamocha. What does it mean that God is Golei Amukot? He reveals the depths. Something that's very deep, that's hidden, that's covered, and on Yom Kippur God is Golei Amukot. He reveals that item that's hidden in the depths. The Sfarim HaKiddushim say like this, Yisrael afal pi shehata Yisrael. A Jew, even though he sinned, he's still Jewish. No matter what you do, you can't renounce your Jewishness. But even if a Jew's committing all the sins, and he's a renegade, and he has left the ranks of Judaism, and you tell him, I'm sorry, a Jew is a Jew is a Jew, you're still Jewish. He says, no, I unsubscribed. But you can't unsubscribe. Yeah, but I'm doing all the averot. I don't keep anything. Tough luck. A Jew is a Jew. Yisrael afal pi shehata Yisrael hu. It's one thing that remains with us. If you're born Jewish, you remain Jewish throughout the duration, no matter what. And the explanation is because, of course, we're made up of body and soul. The body, we know where it is. The soul is in the mind, in the moach. That's where the neshama rests. And even though a person's neshama becomes extinguished from all the sins, and even though it's starting to dwindle, and even though it's becoming very, very dark, but there's a certain spark, a certain light in the soul of a Jew that can never be extinguished. It's inextinguishable. That point of קדושה. And every Jew has it, no matter how observant. And therefore, at the depths of every Jew, there's goodness. The good Jew is good. And even the Jew that's not so good is also good. Because he has that nucleus of goodness in him, and all you have to do is reveal it. And once you take the bellows and you just fan it a little, all of a sudden it grows into a big fire, and then all of a sudden you see a return. Listen to what happens on Yom Kippurim in the Shamayim. The Mekatrigim, the prosecutors, come to God and say, these people, the Jewish people, they're bad. Look at all the sins that they've committed. And it's the same old, same old. Every year they come and they bang on their heart, we're sorry, and like a rubber band. They go right back to where they were a few days later. And they come the next year, Adati, Aviti, I'll never do it again. It's like one of the Darshanim once said, on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, the prophet rebukes the Jewish people, Alme tuku libecha. Why do you pound your chest? Ot tosifu sara. Only to add more trouble. So the rabbis explained, a fellow went to the market. And in the old days they used to bring an empty canister to the market to fill it up with flour. So he tells the merchant, fill it up with flour. So he fills it up to the top. So the customer takes the canister and he starts to shake it. Tick, 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 tick. And it settles a little. He says, you didn't fill it up. He looks and says, oh, you're right. He adds some more flour. He takes it back. Tick, 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 tick. It settles a little more. He says, I don't think you didn't fill it up. He adds some more. So the Megid Medugda says, that's us when it comes to making teshuvah. We have sins up to our forehead. So there's no more room for any more sins. So we bang a little. So the sins settle down to our nose. So now we have room to make more sins. Why are you hitting your heart? So you can add more troubles. So the prosecutors come to God and they say, why are you giving them another year? Why are you giving them another chance? And at that moment, God is gole amukot. God reveals to the angels in the heaven that point, that nucleus of Kiddusha. God reveals and says, you know why I'm giving him a chance? You see, because there's that spark. And even though it's not evident to the human eye, and even the prosecutor in heaven can't find where that spark is, but God Almighty is able to locate the amukot, the depth of every Jew, and it's that gole amukot, that spark of goodness that we all have, that gives us a chance, that gives us a buy. Gole amukot. You all know the famous Rambam. Rambam tells a story of a Beit Din that rules against a man that he has to give his wife a get. So they go to the family, they say, we ruled already, Beit Din, a Gadol, give your wife a get. He says, I'm not giving my wife a get. And you can't force me, because I know the halakha. Man has to give a divorce, the da'ato, the tsono, willingly. Beit Din says, we're asking you nicely, give your wife a get. I'm not giving a get. Okay. So the Rambam writes, kofi oto, ad she'omer rotze ani. They take out a baseball bat. And he says, okay, you sure you don't want to give your wife a gift? And I'm not giving a gift. Okay, and they start swinging. and they start beating him up. And each judge gets a swing. Each one gets a shot at him. And as he's on the floor, I'm not giving the get, I'm not... Finally, the big Dayan with the big muscles gets up there, and he's the slugger, and he's about to come down on him. Rotze ani! I want to give the get. So the Beit Din says, oh, he said Rotze ani, see, he wants. He wants. That's called wanting. The man's being pelted to death. So at the end he comes along and says, yeah, 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 I want to give the get. I want this hard, see, it's so long. It's easy. It's on his own volition. He said he wants to give it. So Haramban gives us a deep psychological understanding of the inner spirit of a human being. The way they explained it is, consciously, he doesn't want to give the get. But in the subconscious mind of every Jew, which that's at the Goleh Amukot stage, that even he doesn't realize he wants to do the right thing. But what? He has interference with the Yetzer Hara and all the other things, but he really wants to do the right thing. Every Jew, in essence, is a Rotze Ani. Even though he says that the Shabbat's not for me, Kashrut's not for me, Tzniut is not for me, this is too much, and learning is not for me. That's externally. That's his conscience talking. But if you penetrate deep, deep down, and sometimes the only way to get to it is with a baseball bat, so you bang him and you bang him and you bang him, and finally you get rid of all the chaff. And you finally get to that kernel. So when he says Rotze Ani, that's his inner soul talking. So that's why Beit Din says, ah, we hit the point. We got to that point. We just had to break the kilipa. We had to break the shell. And sometimes the shell is a big shell. So you got to break the kilipa, and you break the kilipa. We got to the Ani. That's when he says Rotze Ani, you hit that gole amukot, you hit that spot. And that's what we say to Kanidre. Ki lechol ha'am b'shkaga. We might be premeditated and we might be negligent, but God knows it's all shkaga. That's not what you really want to do. A Jew, by his nature, doesn't want to rebel. Because nobody wants to be a liar. And nobody wants to go back on his word. And we gave God our Shivu'ah Hamura before we were born that we're going to be a tzaddik. And nobody wants to be proven a liar. Blatantly, you said you're going to be a tzaddik and then you go against your word blatantly. So we're telling Borei Olam, we might have been premeditated and negligent, but you know God, it's a shigaga. You know that that's not us. The guy that made the sin is not related to me. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's like schizophrenia. Like the Gemara refers to it as a ruach shtut. It's a temporary insanity. That was somebody else that did the sin. But ultimately, I'm a good person. It's important to know that. It's important to know that we're good people. By and large, we're good people. It's just the Yetzer Hara is ma'akev. There's a fantastic story. And the reason why I remember the story is because we had the word in the Daf Yomi a few days ago. And the word's going to come up in tomorrow's Daf as well. So I was reminded of the story that's also brought down in Gemara Avodah Zarah, which I know you heard it, and I'm not going to be redundant. I just want to make one point that you might not have pondered. The story of Elazar bin Durdaya. Who was Elazar bin Durdaya? The man, how shall I say it? The man was addicted to lust and passion and pleasures. The man spent great money and energy to go with, forgive the term, the base terminology, with zonot. This was his addiction. That's all he did his whole life, from one to the next. I know this is a holy congregation, you've probably never heard of Tiger Woods. But something like that. So this is, I mean, he didn't even have time for golf. We would call him, in our terminology, a degenerate, a lowlife. More appropriate is a pervert. Azar ben Durdaya. What kind of person is this? The Gemara says, as bad as you think he was, it gets worse. There was a certain pleasure that can only be attained in a far off island, and it cost a lot of money, and he made an appointment, and he traveled the seven seas, and he brought a big sack of gold, and he gets to the appointment. He goes in and he's ready to commit this act. And also something very strange happens. The Zonah says to Elazar ben Dodaya, a client, just like the wind will not return to its original place, the wind blows and doesn't return back to its origin, so too Elazar ben Dodaya will not return back to God. Now what in the world possesses a zonah to start pontificating and sermonizing and giving, you know, the lesson of the day, the adage of the day? This needs to be out. Where would that come from? From where to where? Elazar ben Dodaya should tell the zonah, I'm not paying you for musar. But instead, the Gemara says he hears the words of the zonah. Elazar ben Dodaya has reached the point of no return. And it enters his soul like the poison of a venomous snake. It hurt him. It hit him. And he's paralyzed from it. And he takes his money back and he gets dressed. And he walks out and he begins his process of return. And without all the details how he did it, but at the end he made such a teshuvah, such a confession, that he died in his confession. That means he put every ounce of strength and energy. We can understand it. No matter how hard you hit yourself, I mean, you're still alive at the end. Elazar ben Dodaya took the teshuvah to the grave. Gemara says at that moment the heavenly voice comes from the Shamayim, Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya, Mizuman b'chayi olam abba. He's in. He made it. He's in eternity. Second ago, the man was the worst degenerate of the earth, and now already he has semicha, Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya. Some rabbi. Rachamim tell us he's the rabbi of Teshuvah. That's his forte. That's where he gets his semicha. On one topic he could teach us. He's the rabbi of Teshuvah. The Tshuva Rebbe. The story has a lot of lessons. First of all, it teaches me everybody could return. It should be very comforting for us because nobody's as bad as this guy. And if he was able to find his way back, so we can also find our way back. But what's more interesting to me is the question that I asked you. Where did that zonah come from? Where did those words come into our mouth? It's so out of character, out of place, doesn't belong there. You know what the pshat is? No matter afal pi shechata Yisrael, Yisrael, and God loves His children, and God will always extend His hand to bring back His children, because God is rotzeh b'tshuvah. We say a beracha every day, Baruch atah Hashem ha-rotzeh b'tshuvah. If God wasn't a rotzeh b'tshuvah, we wouldn't say it b'shem u'malchut, it would be a beracha le-batala. And we don't discriminate. We don't say, well, you're a very big rasha, you skip ha-rotzeh b'tshuvah. God doesn't want you back. Everybody says that, that means no matter what we did and whatever levels we've sunk into, God is the rotzeh b'tshuvah. But you know what? In a normal situation, it's easy for God to bring us back. Because everybody has a rabbi. Everybody's connected somehow. He has a religious friend. There's different means to bring the person back to teshuvah. Just take a survey of people that made a 180 in their life. And you ask them, what was the point of return? What happened? Somebody will say, it was a book that I read. Compelling story, it changed my life. Another one will say, I was in synagogue on the high holidays, the rabbi made an inspiring sermon, and that mashab that he gave just stuck. Somebody will say that he rented a car, there was a CD inside, he listened to it, changed his life. Somebody had a friend that brought him around. Everybody has a story. But if you ask Elazar ben Dordaya, what was the point of your return? I was in the house of ill repute. What? Over there? That's your story? No, that's the story of your descension into sin. Give me the story how you return. You know, that's why I returned from there also. You know what the explanation is? Because God loves us so much that even if the only place that He could return us is in the Beit Zonah, so God went into the place over there, even though it's not Mechubad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's like a father will go into the garbage dump to save his son. So God puts His presence in the lowest place and puts this idea in the Zonah's brain to talk about the wind not returning, and God says, take a chance. Hit or miss. If Elazar buys it, he's back. If not, I tried. But God expends even to go into the worst of places to bring him back. So what does that have to do with the daf, Yomi? You look at the daf tomorrow, you'll see the word Durudaya on the Amud Rishon on the bottom. You know what durdaya means? Durdaya is sediments. It's the sediments that settle at the bottom of the barrel of the wine. I once saw that Elazar bin Durdaya, his name is befitting, because he's been durdaya. He's like the bottom of the barrel. He's like the sediments that sink to the bottom. He is indeed durdaya. He's the lowest of the low. But guess what? You know what his first name is? Elazar. God helped. God assisted. That God extended His hand, HaRotzeh B'tshuvah, the Megale Amukot. He said, even this guy's got a spark. And all you got to do is fan it. And that one word of Musar was a bellows. And his name is is his whole life. El Azar, God helped him. And you know where he helped him? Ben Durdaya. In the depths of the bottom of the barrel, in the house of ill repute. At the time of sin, God still says, he's a good guy. And we say, God, he's not a good guy. He's not a good guy. He's the exception. He doesn't have that spark. And God says, he has it also. And the angels are fighting. Borei Olam, this man, look what he did. Borei Olam doesn't give up on any of his children. And Ben Durdaya, El Hazar, God helped him. That's the Golei Amuko. That's Kilechol Abishkaga. That's why Yom Kippur is the happiest day. Because on Kippur we're reminded not how bad we are, but we're reminded how great we are. Teshuvah is not supposed to be something that breaks us or depresses us or saddens us and puts us in despondency. Teshuvah is a rehabilitation of spirit. Teshuvah builds us. Teshuvah excites us. Teshuvah reminds us of our inner worth and of our value. When we say that line at Kal Nidre, it sets the mood for the rest of the holiday. Ah, I was only a shogeg. I am a good guy. But that malicious guy during the year didn't look like a shogeg. That was the Dr. Jekyll in us. Really, we're good people. Really, every Jew is a rotze ani. Everybody wants to live up to that shivu'ah that we made at the time of the birth. Hence the Kal Nidre is a tremendous setup for the rest of the next 25 hours. To contemplate that. The Ger, the Shkaga, the Shivu'ah. We have an extra bonus this year. Extra bonus being that Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbat. It's a big thing. Gemara says, "El Malesh Shamru Yisrael Shte Shabbatot Miyad Galim." The Jewish people would only keep two Shabbatot. Immediately, we would be redeemed. We hear this Gemara from time to time, and we say it'll never happen. It's a long shot. Two Shabbatot. How is it going to be possible to keep two Shabbatot? And even if they give us a spot and they tell us, we did one already, because we have one more to go, still it's hard to imagine we're able to do it. I saw brought down from one of the Sfarim, he has a different understanding of this Gemara. He says the Shabbat is called Shabbat, but Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbaton. Hence when the Gemara says Il Male Shamru Bnei Yisrael She Shabbatot, it's referring to Kippur. If the Jewish people would keep the Shabbat Shabbaton, the double Shabbat, Miyad Galim, oh, there would be a better chance. But then they take it a step further. Comes out this year, tomorrow night, when we usher in Yom Kippurim, Shehal Yot B'Shabbat, we're connected to three Shabbatot. The regular Shabbat and the Shabbat Shabbaton of Kippur. So you're in three Shabbatot. Don't take what I'm saying lightly. What does it mean, three Shabbatot? The Gemara says in Berachot that there's a certain legion of demons or negative forces that God unleashes onto the world. It's called Haron Af. And when God lets out Haron Af, there's great destruction. And you see how quickly destruction can happen. Just today, it's a matter of 15 minutes, the whole weather changed on us. And all of a sudden we're being attacked by a hurricane and this tornado warning. Where did it come from? Where was anybody at 5 o'clock? Nobody was talking about it. And all of a sudden it barrels in and you start to see in 15 minutes the havoc that the Haron Avodah Kadosh Baruch Hu can cause. Pinpointed exactly where he wants it. Brooklyn, Queens. And that's why in Arbit every single night we say, Ve'urachum yechaper avon ve'lo yashvi. Ve'hirba le'hashiv apo. We're asking God, return, take it back, take the af back. Don't let it out of your possession. Ve'hirba le'hashiv. Return the af. So listen to what the Sfarim say. Shabbat, the numerical value is 702. It's okay, so it's a gematria, big deal. So every word has a gematria. So Shabbat is 702. It's not simple. How many havayot, how many yud ke vav kes do you have in 702? Very simple. It's 26 into 702. It's 27. That means in Shabbat, you're surrounded by 27 Yudke Vavkes. Imagine it however you like. You're entering a zone that has the power, not of one Yudke Vavke, but imagine you just stack up a Yudke Vavke, Yudke Vavke, 27 of them. That's what Shabbat is. You're entering a zone that's so tahor, and we can talk about this another time. The 27 Havayot correspond to 27 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the 22 letters in the 5 Sofiyot. And each letter is connected to another Havayah. And the Torah was given to us on Shabbat. Another topic. But on Shabbat of Yom Kippur, there's 3 Shabbats. It's Shabbat and Shabbat Shabbaton. So Shabbat 702, 702, 702 means 27 Havayot, 27 Havayot, and 27 Havayot. That's 81 Havayot. When we enter Kippur tomorrow night, it's a day that doesn't come that often, that you're able to enter a zone where you're surrounded into 81 Yudke Vavkes, whatever that means. And that gets rid of the af. Because you know what the numerical value of af is? Af is Aleph Peh, which is 81. It's a very, very great day when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbat. The 3 Shabbatot with this 81 Havayot neutralizes Haron Af. The good news is we're going to have a great year. It's Zechut, whenever Kippur falls out on Shabbat, it's a good sign, it's a good omen. That's why we don't push it off, that's why we don't cancel it, we don't push it to Sunday. We want to have it on Shabbat, we want the power of all 3. But that's all dependent that we reaffirm our original Shavuah. And that's why at the end of Kippur we have a custom. I don't know what you do, but I'm sure it's somewhere compatible. At the end of Kippur we say the following pasuk 7 times. Karati bechol lev, aneni Adonai chukecha etzora. God, I called out to you for the past 25 hours. Bechol lev, with all my heart. Aneni Hashem, please answer me. And then we say the 2 words. Chukecha etzora. I'm going to follow your laws. And we say it 7 times. Chukecha etzora. Chukecha etzora means at the end of Kippur, we're born again. And history repeats itself, and we come out of the canal of Yom Kippur, and God, in deja vu, history repeats, and God says, okay, you're born again. I'm making you take a shivua tehe tzaddik. And as we are born out of Yom Kippur, we come along and we make that shivua again, and we say, yes, God, hokecha etzora, I swear I'm going to do it this year, I'm going to be a tzaddik. And this is our challenge for the coming year. To live up to our word. Not to break that shivua. Not that we have to come in Tafshin Ayin Bet again to another Kalidre and say, "Hu shibu." We did it again. And I didn't come here to give you a personal musar. There are no new sins. But today the world today we might compare it to that house of ill repute of Elazar ben Durdaya. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he comes down to the world, he has to come down to the filthiest place in order to bring us back. And the fact that we still have people that are making teshuvah, people that are still returning to God, shows how much God loves us. He's coming down to the biggest tum'ah. You know, they talk in Egypt the 49th level of tum'ah. I'm sure we didn't surpass the 49th level, but I don't see how we didn't. I don't see how Egypt was worse. Could be worse than this or equal to this. This has to be worse. I don't believe the Yetzer Hara even imagined he could be so successful. I think he even exceeded his own expectations. I sometimes wonder when the Yetzer Hara looks at what's going on in the world, did he imagine that every child would be walking around with a pornographic theater attached to his hip? Who would believe he could pull that off? Who would believe it? In the olden days, if a person wanted to commit an avera, he has to be diligent. He has to get up, he has to go. Here, all he has to do is click, click, click. And he's there. Wow, the Yetzer Hara has exceeded even his own expectations. That's the Elazar ben Durdaya. This addiction to all this filth and this tum'ah, so accessible. And it has to resound in our minds. Teher tzaddik ve'al teher rasha. But there's one more line of the Gemara that I didn't tell you, and I'm going to conclude with that. Ve'hevei yodeya. This is the disclaimer. Shekadosh baruch hu tahor. You have to know that your God is holy. Umsharetav tehorim. And his aides are holy. Unshama shenatan becha tehorahi. And you have to know that your soul that God has endowed you with is holy. If you protect your soul and keep it pure, mutav. And if not, I'm taking it back. That's the deal we also shook on. We committed to keep our souls pure. And we committed to keep our children's souls pure. Exposing our children to the dangers of the internet and the cell phones and the texting and the pictures and the pornography. This is not keeping our souls pure. This is a breach of our commitment that we made to God. And that's what we have to think in Kam Nidre as well. Ushivu'e, God, we've tainted our souls. Our souls are dirty. Even though we do Daf Yomi, and even though we keep Klat Kosher, and even though we're shaking Lulav and Etrog, and we wear the best pairs of Tefillin, some put on two pairs. But the Neshama's dirty with all the garbage. Elohai Neshama Shenatata Bi Torah, you gave it to me pure. The good news is, after Yom Kippur, you're born again. Ashrichem Yisrael, lefnei mi metaharim umi metaheretchem. How lucky we are that God cleanses us. You know why I need God to cleanse us? Because they're different type of garments. The finer the garment, the more delicate the cleansing. I cannot clean a wool suit and a silk scarf the same way. The silk scarf needs more care, more sensitivity to take out a stain. You can't just rub it abrasively. You need to do a fine cleaning. There's nothing more sensitive than the Jewish soul, and therefore you need God to come and clean the soul, because it's very delicate. Only God is able to take the stains out of the soul. Kippur is a happy day. Kippur, we're able to push reset. Ve'lager hagar betochechem, the ger that is amongst us or within us. On Yom Kippurim, we're able to erase the goy in us. All that goy lifestyle that we've adopted. And we're able to reborn ourselves and recreate ourselves on Kippur. And God says, good, I accept the deal. Go forward. And that's our words for tonight. I'm not going to tell you have an easy fast. I don't know where that came from. It's not brought down in Chazal. There's no salutation before a fast. So you have the people that say, oh, to have a meaningful fast. That also means nothing. There's no salutation for a fast. Just fast. We say, Shana Tova, Tikatev Etechatev. We have salutations. I don't have any salutation of how you're supposed to fast. Just don't eat. So my salutation to you tonight is, may you be absolved of that Shivuha. And may you recommit yourself to become a tzaddik and tzadkaniyot. And you're on the way, this Kal Kadosh, you're almost there. We're preaching to the choir. It's a shame, the good people come to the shiur and have to hear the musar. And the people that need to hear the musar, they're out doing gallivanting on Erev Kippur. The good people come to the shmuz, they get hit over the head. It's the way it is, it's not fair. Every Jew is Rotzei Ani. Every Jew wants to do good. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should succeed at that. We should take our new commitment and our new charge to be a tzaddik for the coming year, Tavshin Ayin Aleph, and Zechut of the 70 or the 81 Havayot of Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat. God will remove Harun Av from our community, from Am Yisrael, and this Kal Kadosh may be inscribed in the book of life and health and prosperity. Amen. Thank you.